So I have two specific tips with that. The first one is to use it as your real opportunity. You are now on a deadline to truly declutter your stuff.
Renovating your home doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about understanding some key principles and having a plan. Welcome to the Behind the Renovation podcast. I'm your host, Alice D. Chan. I've been obsessed with all things home since I was 10 years old and have been improving homes professionally for nearly two decades. This podcast is dedicated to helping you navigate the messy and the magical when it comes to home improvement. Consider this the real talk behind the scenes, not the produced plot twists of home and garden television shows. Each week, I'll share my tried and true tips, lessons, and interviews with real people just like you who have renovated and lived to tell about it. Get ready to ugly cry happy tears as you do the happy dance. Okay, let's do this. Your new and improved home is waiting. If you're in the process of selling your home or preparing your house to sell, this season of the Behind the Renovation podcast is perfect for you. Over the next few weeks, I'm interviewing industry professionals and related businesses for the Home Selling Success Series to help you understand what home selling, buying, and renovating looks like in 2021, and how you can prepare yourself for the good, the bad, and that elusive virtue called patience.
In today's episode, I'm interviewing Jessica Littman, known as the Organized Mama and recognized by People.com as an organizing and DIY expert. Jessica has been encouraging families to embrace their homes by teaching them how to incorporate fun and easy home organizational habits that every family member can do. Her work has been featured in Better Homes and Gardens, Parents Magazines, and the Boston Globe. You can find Jessica on Instagram at The Organized Mamas or visit her at TheOrganizedMama.com.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, we are talking about home selling success, and part of that process is dealing with all the stuff that people have in their homes, which is always challenging whether you're selling or not, right?
Oh, 100%.
And as an organizational expert, I'm sure you deal with this every single day. So I'm excited to tap into your expertise and hear what tips you have for us.
I'm excited to share.
Perfect. So for me personally, because I work with renovation and design, I always tell my clients if they are calling me for a design project that before we ever even get to the decorating part, we have to organize their stuff. Because my feeling is I can bring in all the decorative accessories, we can make the room look really pretty and staged, but if we don't address all your stuff and teach you how to organize that stuff, all of it just starts to pile up into the spaces, and then it kind of defeats the purpose of decorating the space in the first place, right? So,
100%.
how do you handle something like that?
That is a great question because I think what you have to start with, I do believe organizing and design go hand in hand, exactly like what you said. Like, you have to start by decluttering or removing the unnecessary things in order to showcase the stuff you have. So in order to do that, you really have to start asking yourself, is this item like serving you? Is it working in your space? Is this something you want to showcase? And a lot of times people feel that like, oh, well, I had this when I was in my 20s, when I was in my apartment, when I was, when we first got married. But your style changes. And so it's okay to let those things go in order to have a space that actually feels like you now. So to kind of like remove the sentimental piece behind some of your components that you might have will help you just declutter your stuff so that it actually stays decorated the way that you want it to, and you will actually enjoy your space. There is this thing called visual clutter, which I feel like a lot of people don't always cover because when you see so many things, your mind doesn't know where to go. And so with design, you really want to focus in on specific things. So when you go into a room and you feel like overwhelmed, it could just be because you have too much stuff. And so by taking those things away, you can feel more at ease with the space that you're actually in.
I 100% agree. That's always been how I've been my whole life. So even when I worked at a law firm way back when, there's some people that just love to look like they're really busy and they have piles of files all over the place, stuff strewn all over their desk. I can't work that way. No. So everybody knew, like, don't mess with Alice because I will have everything organized and I will, my space actually looked like I had nothing to do, mm-hmm. but that's the way I function. Because if there's stuff all over the place, like you said, like there's so much visual clutter, like I can't focus. Yes. And I get very anxious. And it makes me feel better once I clean it all up and I put all the files away and everything's like nice and neat. Then I'm like, ah, I can handle this.
Yes.
Like I feel in control. So I know, especially over this past year with everyone sheltering in place, right? Mm-hmm. What are some best practices that you can offer for people in terms of the various rooms that we all live in, right? Oh. Because for instance, like our offices probably has never seen so much use than over the past year. And then if you have children at home and of course the kitchen, that's another space that has been used and abused probably over the last year more so than ever, right? So we can do each space, like what are some best practices to kind of keep your sanity when you're living with multiple people all day, every day?
Okay. So there was like a lot in one question.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I love it. I love it. So what I want to say, the very first thing, no matter where you go or what you do, start mm-hmm. with your bedroom. And the reason mm-hmm. being, it doesn't matter how disorganized the rest of your house is. Your office is a mess. Yes. Don't focus on your bedroom. Keep your bedroom clean every single day because there are so many brain research studies out there that talk about how sleep and clutter actually, it disrupts your sleep patterns by having too much clutter in your space. So if you are like, okay, my house is a complete disaster and you're feeling that mm-hmm. anxiety, start in your bedroom. And then in your bedroom, keep countertops clear, put your clothes away. If your closet is a total disaster and you can like close the door, just close the closet door so you don't see it when you sleep. Seriously, it's so crazy, but start there. And then as you kind of like go through your house, look at what you have in that space that isn't working. Don't say, oh, this whole room is awful because it might just be your dining room table is where all of the stuff is collected. It's your dining room table. It's not the room. Mm-hmm. It's that specific location. Then why? Why does everything get dumped there? Well, we don't have a spot by our front door and that's the first spot that comes in off the, so maybe we need, you know, some hooks or, you know, make something look pretty and functional by your entryway door so things don't pile up on your dining room table. So really asking yourself, why is this happening? Instead of like, oh, everything is, you know, get really specific. And that's going to help.
Because if you know why it's happening, you can create a solution for it, right? So
exactly.
Yes, I agree.
So totally like focus on that. And then when you're living with multiple people, my biggest tip is to organize the space for the least organized person. And seriously, because they're the ones that aren't going to change. So stop expecting them to change. They aren't. Like, love my husband, but he is not. He says he's organized. And I was like, no, you're not. So like, he likes just dumping his clothes on the floor. So I put out like a decorative laundry basket on his side of the bed. And now all of his clothes magically go in there and they're not all over the floor. So I created something for the least organized person. And, you know, when it's laundry time, he has to go through all of, why do I do this to myself? And I was like, well, you don't, the space, it's all up to you. Like, this is all on you, not on me. But he's the one that has to deal with it. So it makes it easier to keep like our living or our bedroom clean without like clothes all over the place. Or if you have kids, create a spot for all their papers that's right where their backpack is, or use something to just collect all the shoes. It doesn't always need to like look beautiful in some of those more functional spaces. It's okay to be more functional for the point of function so that you can enjoy other spaces that you can create a more luxurious and beautiful space.
Yes, I agree. Well, and I also think, you know, if you're not organized, and especially with children, the sooner you can teach them how to be organized, the more they're going to be organized, because you can't just expect someone to be organized,
100%.
Like get organized, and they have no idea how to do that. So creating those systems really is very helpful in training them up so that they know what to do. And I've done that with my clients where, you know, if they don't know where the shoes go, create a zone, like you said. These are the shelves. When you're done with your shoes, you put them back, you know, you get them and then you use them. And then when you come home, that's where you put them back. These are, and hang things at their level, yes, right? For kids. Like I always say, if they can reach it, you can't expect a 5-year-old to be able to hang their clothes up in a closet where the rod is at adult 100%. Height, right?
Oh,
so I agree.
Yes. And they have like, you know, hooks and stuff that you can do in the meat, like that you can put it things lower. Cause I've had a lot of clients that have said like, I don't want something, you know, down low because they're going to outgrow it. And I was like, well, there's like removable hooks you can put up for like the short time that they need it. And then mm-hmm. it's still functional. There are ways that you can keep things organized without going like overboard.
Well, I think sometimes it's a little short-sighted thinking that, you know, things are one and done. Like you're going to do something yes. once and it's never going to change. Like you're not going to put your child in a nursery and expect them to live in that nursery for the 18 years they're living under yes. your roof. Like that doesn't make any sense. Their rooms have to grow up with them. So yes. creating systems that work for them as toddlers and then graduating up to as they age up and as they get taller and whatnot. I mean, that's why preschools have things at child height, like, you know, younger child height. And then you go into elementary school, things are a little bit higher. And then as you get into high school, you don't expect them to use, you know, something that they would use in preschool. It doesn't make any sense. So 100%. I think sometimes it's a little short-sighted, but yes. if you bring it to their attention, then they'll understand. And it just makes everybody's life better. Unless you plan on doing it for your children 24/7.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 100% with that. Yes.
Okay. So now when we are preparing houses to sell, what are some ways to help make that process of organizing a little bit easier, right? Because we need to declutter. We need to organize things. You can't keep your home in the same condition as you would on a day-to-day basis, how you live in it, because that's not buyer friendly. Yes. Nobody wants to see, you know, your laundry all over the place. They don't want to see the toys strewn throughout. So what are some easy ways to kind of keep things organized, but still be functional for you from a living perspective, but be able to show your property well?
So I have two specific tips with that. The first one is to use it as your real opportunity. You are now on a deadline to truly mm-hmm. declutter your stuff. And like, use it for real and really use that as your motivation to declutter the things that you don't want to bring with you to your next house, that you don't want to, you know, deal with anymore. And by being really ruthless at that process, you will eliminate a lot of unnecessary things that then you won't have to worry about later. And so if you know you're thinking about putting your house on the market, start now, like start decluttering and being like super ruthless. If you can rebuy something for like $20 and you're like questioning it, it might make more sense just to declutter it now and then not bring it into your new space. See if you actually need it. And then if you do, it's under $20. And so you can rebuy it and knowing that, okay, I do use this. So this is something I have to keep again. Then the second thing is, to use laundry baskets for everything. When I have clients and we are staging their homes to sell, we use laundry baskets for all their shoes, backpacks, jackets, everything. The kids throw everything into the laundry basket and then all the parent has to do is throw it in the trunk of the car and your entire mudroom looks beautiful and all of the stuff is sitting in the trunk of your car.
And so smart,
but it also works. Like when we staged our home to sell on two separate occasions and ended up just remodeling. But when we did, I ran through the house, started in the very top floor, went all the way down with a laundry basket. Anything that was on the floor just went into the laundry basket. That laundry basket went into the trunk of my car. We dealt with it later, but I was able to clean up the house in like 10 minutes and out the door for a showing. And it just made things simple because I just picked it up and put it away. And so investing in some stackable laundry baskets will help too, because you can stack them in the trunk of your car to get like more space.
You probably look like you're living out of your car. Totally. I was like, wow, she's a fancy homeless person.
I totally did. I know I did. But I'm like, okay. We also went like two doors down to my neighbor's house. So okay. It is what it is.
It sure is. I know. And we are just starting, from what I understand, to get back into open houses. So now people have to start preparing for that again. For a while there, you had to make appointments. Yes. And so you had a little bit more preparation time. And then, so when it comes to packing, let's talk about yes. packing, because what you said earlier is very important. You don't want to bring extra stuff to your new space if you don't have right. to. That eliminates the additional work of having to pack it up. Then you have to unpack it in your new space and find a home for that again. So if you can get rid of it beforehand, more power to you. That is the best way to go. But let's talk about packing and how we can make that process more streamlined and efficient and less overwhelming, because it can be very yeah. overwhelming. You're talking about an entire house, depending on whatever size it is, of multiple people's things. And my favorite subject is, and we can talk about this more in depth after you answer this question, but mementos. People love to keep mementos. Like, what do you do with that? But okay, I digress. let's get back to the packing part first. Like, what are some great ways to streamline that packing process so it's less overwhelming?
I suggest going room by room and starting mm-hmm. with your least used rooms first. A lot of people have a hard time packing up the kitchen before like it's actually time to pack up the kitchen. So start with rooms right, you don't really use. Storage stuff. Those are great spots to start, because most of the time the stuff in storage doesn't need to come with you. So mm-hmm. start in the rooms you use the least, pack up everything. And we have done, and again, it depends on how and where you're moving. If you're moving in the same vicinity, you might not need to go as overboard with making the lists and writing what's in each box. If you are making a cross-country move, it might be more beneficial to create like a spreadsheet, like I have 6 boxes for this room. Just so you make sure you get all of your stuff. But if it's like same day move, you don't need to be as on top of it, from my experience. So starting okay. there, and then really like using your time wisely. Don't put everything off and then be like, oh, I'm going to get to the storage room later. And then like you just throw everything in and then
the night before. Exactly.
Like if you're going to wait till the night before, have it be the kitchen. And because you use the stuff in the kitchen, you don't use the stuff in the storage room. So start there, really declutter and write down on the box, like what those things are and where they go. I know people use stickers. I know people color code things. It depends on if it makes sense for you. It does make sense for everybody to color code. Some people are like, moving from, you know, a condo into a house. So it doesn't matter about that kind of space. If you are downsizing, it might make more sense to kind of color code, plan out where things are going to go before the move so that the movers actually put the boxes where they're supposed to go. But again, it has to be comfortable for you. If you know you have a lot of stuff to declutter, don't focus on the color coding. Focus on getting rid of things so you're only bringing what you need to your house.
Yes. Well, I do think it's really important to make sure that you label your boxes and then also then somehow make it easy for whoever's moving you, whether it's you yourself or a moving company, to know that, okay, these are the kitchen boxes, put them in the kitchen. So you don't just have random boxes all yes. throughout the house and then you're just trying to scramble at that point. And then, you know, there are always going to be things in our house that we don't use on a regular basis. So even in a kitchen, I do think there are plenty of things that you're not going to use every day. You might need your dishes and your everyday cookware, things like that. But there's those specialty items that, you know, your bread maker, your, you know,
serving waffle maker.
You can live without waffles while you're planning your move.
Yes.
You know, things like that can be yes. packed up so that you're not waiting until the last minute. Because that's, I think, very overwhelming when you open up those cabinets, you're like, oh my goodness, what do I do? Why do I have so much stuff? Which is also a great time to start purging.
Exactly. And I know a lot of our clients, when we start going through things, they don't always go through their clothes. Like clothes end up just getting put in the wardrobe boxes. But last minute decluttering for people that struggle to let go of things actually is more of a motivator. Now, I'm not saying like, wait, you know, the night before to pack up your entire house. No.
Just throw it all away. I don't want any of it.
Be like, yard sale, we're done. But if you know that about yourself, it might make a lot of sense to do it 2 days before because you are now on a time crunch. You know you have to get rid of things. And so you are going to be more inclined to part with things. But I'd only suggest doing that for one room. That's it, max. Like 2 days before, one room should be it. Like not the whole house. And I totally agree. Labeling the boxes with the room and some of the bigger items that can be found in that box. Just because then it also will give you an idea of, oh, well, maybe this shouldn't go in this room. It could go somewhere else because you know some of the bigger items that were placed in that box as well.
When you, okay, so that's packing up to move to the house. So when you get to the other side, when you're in your new space.
Yes.
What do you recommend for people to do? Like, is there a first room that you should set up? Is there certain things that you should do to make it easier once you get to that side? Because then, so you did all this great work on your old home so that you can move into your new home. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to do this all over again.
So what I suggest doing is using post-it notes on everything. Mm-hmm. So you put it on the drawers, on the cabinets, everywhere. What type of item goes where? And we do this a lot in the kitchens whenever we like set up a kitchen, but we always start our biggest areas that we usually do are bedrooms and kitchens are always like the first two areas that we set up. And then we try and get the bathroom set up as well, depending on time of day, depending on how the move went and everything. But by setting up at least the bedroom and bathroom, you know, you're actually going to get a good night's sleep, even though the rest of your house is total mess. But using post-it notes to say like bowls and plates or, you know, plates go here, bowls go here, cups go here, silverware here, with the general idea of the stuff that you have, then anyone can help putting things away because it's all labeled. So the entire family can help. It's not just on one person to put everything away and create like some sort of organizational thing. Also, I do not recommend buying anything until you put your stuff in the drawers and cabinets. Even if it's like a silverware holder and you're like, oh, well, I know I need it, so I'll just don't. Just see how your stuff works in this new space before you purchase anything. We've seen that so often. People move into houses and they're like, oh, well, I thought this would work here, but your silverware is like across the kitchen from where your plates are. Like it doesn't, that doesn't make any sense just because that's where the, you know, either like the packing company or your husband or you put it there. Doesn't mean it has to stay there. So see how the space works before you purchase any products.
I'm interrupting my own podcast to let you know about a tool that I created to help those of you who may be feeling overwhelmed by the thought of a home renovation. When it comes to renovating your home, we know that you want to finish your project quickly and efficiently, especially when preparing a house to sell. In order to do that, you need to know what to do and in what order. The problem is there are many moving parts and it can be overwhelming. We believe renovating your home does not have to be difficult. It's all about understanding some key principles and having a plan. Over the past two decades, we have consulted on millions of dollars worth of real estate sales, and as a result, clients have done the happy dance all the way to the bank. Here's how you can do the same. Eliminate the guesswork and get your copy of the home selling edition of the Renovation Planner. The Renovation Planner was created to guide you through your home improvement process from start to finish. The planner will help you build your project plan so that you can renovate with confidence. This new edition will be available at therenovationplanner.com. That's therenovationplanner.com. If it's not live as of this recording, join the waitlist and you will be notified as soon as it's ready for purchase. In the meantime, you can also download our free guide to avoiding costly mistakes on your renovation projects so that you can stop spinning your wheels and start improving your home today.
All the links are going to be in the show notes, or you can visit us at alicetchan.com for all the information that you need. Cheers to your soon-to-be new and improved home.
I totally agree. And I was just going to ask, like, I think a lot of times people feel like they have to get it perfect from the get-go. Yes. And that's probably the worst time to be worrying about that. Like, just get the stuff into the spaces first, into the cabinets, just so things are kind of put away, and then live in your home and then perfect it from there, right?
100%.
I agree. I mean, I know I'm also guilty of that because I'd like everything to be like nice and neat and organized. But even then, like, it doesn't make sense because you haven't lived there yet. You don't know how you're going to function in the space just yet. And it may be the exact place that you're going to keep it, but you can always make things better later. So don't worry about lining everything and making it all perfect. If you have the time, great. But then, you know, if you get the stuff out of the boxes and into the unit so that you can use it, that's the most important thing to start with.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk about some organizational tools once you are in the home, because that's the fun part. Now, okay, you've kind of settled in, you're unpacked-ish, because I'm sure there's people that have stuff that are in boxes still for many weeks and many months later. what are some of your favorite organizational tools? Let's start with the entry space. Right. Because that's usually where people either come in from the home. So either the front door or they're coming in through the garage, which I think more people come through the garage than they do actually the front door.
Yes. For that space, one of my favorite things is using like laundry baskets for kids' shoes, backpacks and stuff. If you don't have like built-in cubbies, if you don't have space for hooks, just because it gives everybody like a designated spot for things to go. There are some like really cute wire ones that we love to use from Target. They have like little brass handles and like they look really cute. But
so not just your regular like white tub.
Right. No, I'm talking like the pretty looking ones. You know, you're going to spend a little bit more money, but they look nice. And each kid has their own kind of like spot for them. So if there is no hangers, if there isn't space to do built-in cubbies, because I do think that that is a thing to invest money in, especially if you have kids or have somebody in the household that is a little bit messier, those built-in cubbies really do act as a huge system to help keep everything kind of tidy and streamlined.
Are you thinking about your husband again?
I am. His cubby was like piled with stuff. And last night he was like, I'm going to go through all of this. And halfway through he was like, okay, I'm done. But it's all in his little space. And I don't care. I don't care if that's messy because it's in his designated spot and it is what it is. So.
So like I said, like once a week you can designate, everybody has to go through their cubby, empty it out, put everything away. And I do that with my daughter too, because she'll pile all her stuff that she's worn. They're not dirty. They're not clean. She doesn't really know what to do with it. I'm like, okay, you need to do something because it can't just be sitting here.
Right.
So like, you know, the weekend is a great time to do the catch up work.
Exactly. And like designating a day to like go through and do all of that, I think makes such a difference in keeping everything organized. And, you know, we call it the 15-minute tidy that we do every night of our house. Like we put the pillows back on the couch and we like fold the blankets, and just doing that every day for like 15 minutes, it just makes everything so much easier on the weekends when we do have to like go through the cubbies or, you know, put away laundry or some of those bigger tasks, because then we aren't focusing on all the other things that need to be done to like make sure that the house, you know, isn't a disaster.
Yeah. And I think that's what's interesting is people seem to think that organizing or cleaning up is like this big, huge task. And it can be just a lot of little time chunks where, like you said, 15 minutes, you would be amazed what you can accomplish in 15 minutes. Like you set a timer and you run around, you're like, wow, I still have time. Like you're trying to find stuff to do. And it's kind of a fun game, especially with little kids. You're like, okay, we got 15 minutes, like hustle, do whatever you can. And you've got a much more tidy space. So that makes it fun for everybody. Let's go back to talking about mementos, yes, because I think this is one struggle that everybody has about what to do with these things as you, as a parent of younger children, I think, right? You probably have the influx schools ending, or for us, it already ended. Like, you get this influx of all the projects that they did throughout the year. You're like, yay, now what do I do? Yeah. Let's talk about those things first, and then we'll talk about other stuff.
So, okay, with kids stuff,
mm-hmm,
think about, so I tell my clients a couple of things. The first thing I say is, okay, let's look at, you know, you and all of your mementos from childhood. Do you look at those? All of them are like, no, I've thrown them in the garbage, or, oh, they're sitting in a box of my parents. And I was like, okay, do you want to hold on to those for your kids? Because that's exactly what your parents are doing for you. It just changes the outlook of that whole thing. It means something to you. You're the one that's holding on to them. It means something to you. So if it means something to you, my philosophy is you either display it, you use it, or you get rid of it. So if you can't display it, you aren't using it, then why are you holding on to it? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, you know, you want to display it, but you don't know how. There are so many ways that you can do this. Like, my biggest one and what I do is I turn a lot of things into books. Like, we take a picture. Now, I'm not saying get rid of everything, but because whenever I say this, a lot of people are like, how can you get rid of the first baby clothes that they wore? Like, and I'm like, there is some component of, you know, keeping things. But the majority of the stuff, if you can turn it into a book, a scrapbook, they have so many apps out there to make books.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see, like, we have a ton of them over, like, on my shelf in my living room that my kids look at, like, about once a week. It's their artwork. It's baby stuff. I keep it out so that they will look at it, and then it's being used and viewed. If it's something that you have to physically hold on to appreciate, like the baby clothes, or maybe there's a handprint or something like that, holding on to that in like a memory box is completely fine. But again, ask yourself, do I need to physically like touch this in order to appreciate it? Most of the time, the answer is no, you don't. Obviously, there are some things that you do. So you just have to kind of remove the sentimental piece, because it's only sentimental to you. My spouse, most of the stuff, he's like, why are you saving this? And I was like, well, I like it. And then my kids are at an age, they're in first and second grade. So they're at an age where I'm okay being like, do you want to keep this from kindergarten or preschool? Do you want to keep this from something? And if they're like, I don't know, we'll still hold on to it. But if they're like, no, I don't need it, then we can part with it. And that's okay, because this box is for them. It's not for me.
So I did that with my daughter a couple of years ago. We went through a whole stack of stuff, and I wish I was a little more diligent about doing it on an annual basis, which is, I highly recommend people do this when you can remember when things were happening versus trying to figure out, oh my God, what year
end
was
this? End of school year. End of school year. Just do it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So we went through it together and said, okay, let's pick one or two items from that year that you want to keep. And then I took pictures of everything, like you said, with the intention of creating those books, which never actually happened. It's on my digital file. But those books are awesome because, yes, you can use them as like it's a memento, but you're not carrying, you know, a whole stack of art that they did in first grade, second grade, third grade. Like, you could see it like, oh, look, what a great artist you were in first grade.
Right.
But yes, we kept only like one or two items. And I don't have a lot from my childhood, but I do have a journal from junior high, which is really interesting to see my writing. Like, we had an English assignment where there was a prompt every day that we had to write something about. So I find that kind of interesting.
Yes.
What my thoughts were at that time. I have like one or two projects from way back when, but really most of that stuff, even a yearbook, what do you do with those things? And when I was growing up, we got one yearbook at the end of junior high and yearbooks in high school. With my daughter, they had a yearbook every year from kindergarten on. What do you do with a yearbook after a while?
Honestly? You throw it out.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that answer. Okay. Another thing,
yes.
Trophies. You know, people have trophies and plaques from all the sports that they've done since birth.
You're talking about my husband, aren't you?
He seems to be. I
know. He's going to love this. I'm going to be like, oh, you have to listen to this. We talked about you. So a lot of the trophies, he's kept big trophies, like for big wins that he wants to celebrate and keep. The rest of the trophies, there are actually organizations that you can donate the trophies to, and they will use them for different events. There are some for like inner city kids that, you know, because the trophies do cost money. And so...
Yeah, that's a great idea. Check out
it's local. If you just look like trophy donation companies on Google, you can find some that will actually take the trophies. And so there are so many companies out there that will take donations of kind of random things and use them for really good purposes.
I love that so much. Okay. Yes, because, well, my daughter was a competitive gym for years and years. So we have all the, I can't even think of it.
Yes.
But she has all the ribbons with all the awards, and we have them hung on her wall. So that's fun. But now she's retired from gymnastics and she's doing other stuff. So I'm like, good Lord, what am I? Don't stiff me with all the stuff when you leave the house, because I'm not one to keep them. Interesting. Okay. Well, I think that when it comes to living in our houses, I think people really have to understand that beyond like the pretty stuff, organization is just so key to like your everyday wellness, right? Because when you go into a space, I'm big on being able to find things because I'm already strapped for time. I don't want to have to look for things. And I'll tell you right now, I'm so irritated because I cannot find my iPad pen. And I do not know what happened to it. I'm like, Scott, where could it possibly? It's got to be here somewhere. I don't know where, but I will find it. But that's one of those things that I like if I need a document, I need to know exactly where to go get it. I don't want to hunt for it. I don't want to dig for it. What are some major things that you could recommend that people do? Some just maybe one big thing that someone can do to make their everyday lifestyle that much easier beyond like the most obvious of, you know, putting your shoes
here.
Honestly,
I say making your bed. I know that sounds so like weird, but when you make your bed every night, you go into a space that is tidy because your bed is made. And so you're ending your day, and then if you start your day with a bed that's made, you're just kind of like capping out by keeping yourself organized and giving yourself that space to sleep so that you can make more decisions. And I do find that helps immensely in the whole organizing process. Also, don't get so hung up on what you see on social media in terms of organization, because remember, you're probably only seeing 1 to 2 walls of that space. You're not seeing all 4. So know that whatever's behind the photographer could be a big old hot mess, and your space doesn't need to look like that in order to be considered organized.
I agree. I mean, it's great aspiration, and I think everybody should try and keep their spaces as organized as possible for you and know that it's not perfect 24/7, but you can give yourself those times on the weekends or, you know, 15 minutes a day where you can pick things back up and get back to square one where you're like, okay, I'm good again.
Exactly.
I feel like I have to do that multiple times a day. And when I'm distracted and I can't get my thoughts together, I vacuum because that is, it's comforting to me. I'm weird like that. Like that makes me feel good.
Oh yes. The vacuuming, the cleaning, straightening up like totally helps. It helps your brain too. Just kind of like recenter, refocus.
Yes. It works for me. It's always worked for me. And so it's my go-to when I feel like, okay, I'm all over the place. I'm not going to get anything done. So let me go clean something.
Exactly.
So what is one of the craziest things that's happened to you this past year that you can share with us? Cause I just think it's a fun question to ask. It's been a crazy year for everyone in general, but what's one of the craziest things that's happened to you this past year?
Well, with COVID and going into people's houses, that has completely shifted my entire business where I've had to do everything online. And that has been very crazy.
I can imagine. Now, do you find it challenging working with people virtually versus in person? Because obviously in person, you're able to touch things, see things. You see things from a different perspective than, you know, through a lens or through a screen.
It has been an interesting road. And what I found is we've created a new kind of like flow for helping people kind of like first get started, which we weren't doing before because we were just coming in and like organizing. But I'm very happy with finding out like, okay, first you have to do this before we even do, you know, our little FaceTime. And by them taking the time to remove a lot of excess clutter that we would typically spend doing like our first organizing session, it's really helped streamline the entire process.
Awesome. So pre-COVID, you just went in and you just did it for them versus now you're really teaching them how to do it for themselves, right? Yep. Because you're not the hands-on person.
Exactly.
You know, I think that might be even more effective actually.
I was going to say, that's why it was so crazy because it wasn't something I was expecting. But now that we've been doing it and seeing really great results, it's something that I'm like, actually, this could be fairly substantial because we aren't having to go do resets once a month for clients or hearing people, you know, a lot of times we have some clients that we just need to remind, you need to keep up with this after we leave. Like, we don't live in your house. So, and by teaching people in a more streamlined manner, it has been far more efficient than, you know, anybody could just come into your house and organize. But if you aren't going to maintain it, then, you know, it's not going to work. So by putting it all on you, you're the one that is, you set it up.
Responsible.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Far more ownership than what we were doing before.
I do think that, well, it's just like when they say, if you put pen to paper and you write things, you're physically doing it, it sticks with you. But, you know, if you, and I see this with my clients as well, when I just go in and I just do it, I don't have to explain to them how it's done. I just, you know, with a wave of a magic wand, everything gets put away and everything is organized. But then I leave and I'm like, oh no, what happened? But it makes me happy when I come back and they actually keep it the same. But I do think what you're doing now is far more effective than just doing it for them. So now then this opens up the opportunity for you to work with people everywhere, not just with your clients locally.
Exactly.
Right?
Which has been a lot of fun. I've had people from coast to coast, Canada, somebody in Hawaii, and trying to figure out a girl in Germany is also, but times, that's one thing with the time and the kids home. So hopefully once things start to, you know, open up and we can start to see some sort of normalcy, I plan to keep this and then my hours can be a little more flexible.
How fun. Well, that I think that's a positive result of the pandemic for you. That's great.
Yeah.
And you're located in the Chicago area, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And are things opening up in your area?
They are starting to, which is, it's weird. It's, you know, we've been in this crazy lockdown. I know you are in California and you've been, we've kind of been on similar paths with things being, you know, so closed and that kind of thing. But with things opening up, it's interesting because I'm like, I don't know. It's been like a year. Is this, is weird.
Yeah. I feel like some people don't know what to do with themselves. Like, how do we do this? You don't know how to navigate the real world anymore.
Yes. That is honestly how I feel.
Yeah. Yes. We were at a restaurant over the weekend and we felt like they were so used to doing takeout that they didn't know how to operate their business working with like live customers anymore. Like, okay. Cause there was so much confusion about how to place the order because they were trying to do things with a QR code and that wasn't really working. And then the customers are getting a little frustrated. It's like, can a human being just take my order and put it in and bring the food to me? So I think it's going to be a little bit of a new adapting to a new lifestyle. Like again, even though it sounds so silly, like we've been doing this for so long. It was only a year, but it's amazing how much you like forget to do in such a short period of time.
But it goes to show that any habit that you set, it doesn't take that long to set in what is normal. So if you want to be organized, you can make it happen because within a year, we've all, we are where we are.
Good or bad? Well,
exactly.
Here we go. Oh, thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing all this great information with us. Where can people find you online?
You can find me. My website is theorganizedmama.com or on all social media platforms. It's Organized Mamas with an S.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And hey, we got through this interview and my gardeners did not interrupt. Woohoo! Small wins.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You too.
You just tuned in to an episode of the Behind the Renovation podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to share this episode with your friends on social media. Just make sure to tag me at Alice T. Chan on Instagram. For all the deeds from today's show, visit us at alicetchan.com, click on podcast and access all of the show notes from this episode. Imagine me raising a glass to you, a mug in this case, to your renovation journey. Cheers to your new and improved home.